Please be seated. Methodist Bishop Will Willimon, who is voted one of the 10 best preachers in the English-speaking world, reminds us that one way you can tell the difference between a true and living God and a dead and fake one is that a false God will never tell you anything that will make you angry and uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but I find this comforting in light of what the prophet Amos had to tell us this morning. Now, if I were to say to you, the more I study the Bible and reflect on the life and teachings of Jesus, the more I think most of Christianity as practiced today has very little to do with the real Jesus found there, how does that make you feel? What do you want to say to me? Some of you might right now want to get up out of your seats and tell me that I am wrong, that I am crazy. Well, my response would be that yes, maybe you are correct. I did not journey with Christ when he was on earth 2,000 years ago. But based on the fact that over 150,000 sermons are preached every week in this country, and we find ourselves in the current mess that we are in, I believe I must be at least somewhat walking down a somewhat correct path. In our first reading from Amos, we find a prophet who, I believe, is saying the same thing, only more directly and harshly. The prophet Amos is the first of the big biblical prophets, predating Isaiah and Jeremiah. He prophesies the approaching end of the existence of God's people based upon God's judgment of Israel for failing to live according to the divine standards. Each of the later prophetic books of Hosea, Micah, Isaiah, Zephaniah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel takes up and then reasserts the message first proclaimed by Amos. You could say Amos was direct and brutally honest, and those who followed started softening the message, or in today's terms, became more politically correct. Amos's writings contain little comfort or hope for Israel. According to Amos, the end for Israel is coming, and Israel must perish. For the way they have slid down, there can be only one solution: death, then rebirth, and then God doing a new thing. The prophet Amos details the crisis he sees all around him in a culture that seems on its surface to be doing fine. Do we see any similarities to our world today? Politicians on both sides of the aisle put down their colleagues. Our president upsets half the populace by his actions and words. Our black sisters and brothers still feel marginalized, picked on, and discriminated against. Immigrants are looked on skeptically and often treated unfairly. And most of us not directly affected by these goings-on lay low and live lives as though not much is wrong. Amos creates a crisis in the midst of what Israel thought were good times by declaring that God will judge a society by how it treats its poor and powerless. Fraudulent business practices are laid bare in his preaching, practices that abuse the poor and delight the rich. It's status quo stuff, that pesky peace that is no peace. A crisis is created by laying open the ugliness of what's really going on. Those who have the power to change it, those who have been entrusted with the stewardship of this community, are called to account. The prophets of our own time are called to name the crises among us as well. This is preaching no one wants to hear. Americans want to hear that their country is the best in the world, doing good for every other nation. Faithful Christians want to believe that the church is free from corruption and full of honesty. As stewards of the mystery of God, we have much responsibility. Our church is called holy, not because of what it is, but because of who and what we are called to be. Do not let yourself or those outside the church use the word holy either for or against us. For its purpose is always to point us towards Christ, towards the one whom we follow and worship, the one who is holy. Where is the crisis in our world? Everywhere, and we are called to act. Hunger, homelessness, violence, death, discrimination, persecution, deportations. You know, I could go on and on. 8 million people die each year because they lack the basic resources for a healthy life. We are made aware on a daily basis about the challenge of immigration. We need, and we can, do better. Although some of us may be a little bit more uncomfortable than a few years ago, we in the United States enjoy prosperity like no other nation. But this prosperity has not been enjoyed by all. Unfair tax codes have literally enabled the rich to get richer and the poor to become poorer. It has been a tough couple of decades, not only for the poor, but also for the middle class, who have seen their gains in salary and benefits fall away as many of them slip below the income level that made them middle class. Our politics appear to benefit those who have economic clout in our society. The poor, the overtaxed, and the economically burdened with no advocate, no one that is, except our righteous God and the prophets who serve our God. If Amos were the guest preacher today, what would he say to us? My foundational theology professor at Swanee opened his first class by asking us, with what is theology concerned? We green behind the ears seminary students answered with all these wonderful platitudes: God, religion, or spiritual things. He corrected our misapprehension. No, Christian theology is concerned with everything. Everything. There are presumably religions that are concerned exclusively with personal private happiness, with individual morality, but neither Judaism or Christianity is one of those religions. In Judaism and Christianity, God not only creates the world, but continues to interact with it and to take care of it. This God makes no distinction between religious concerns and secular, non-religious concerns. Our God is concerned with everything. And so, our God is very political. Our God wants us to change the world. That is what we are called to do. God reminds us that our worship is not limited to Sunday. Our worship continues in what we do at the office on Monday and continues throughout the week. Our God does not just want our heart or our soul. Our God literally wants all of us. Amos speaks for a God who loves Israel enough to call Israel to account. Israel lives under the judgments of a God who loves Israel, who wants the people to be a light to the nations, to show forth to the world what people can do when they are owned by, accountable to, and called by a true and living God. Amos does not shrink from naming names, from citing instances of injustice and inequality. Today, all around us, there is no shortage of names as well. There is no dearth of specific instances of injustice and inequality in the world, nation, and our community. We know that we are called to act. What will we do?